Okay, picture this. You're starting a new tech project, right? You're all fired up, ready to build something great. You open your laptop and bam, instantly you're just staring down this rabbit hole of choices. Is it this framework or maybe that one? And which of the like 20-something state management libraries is the right one? How many ways can you possibly handle styling? You know that feeling. You wanted to build features, but instead you're burning hours just trying to decide how to even start building them. It's frustrating. Now, okay, flip that. Imagine another developer opens their laptop, spins up Next.js 15, connects it to Supabase, throws in some Tailwind CSS, and somehow they ship a working, pretty impressive MVP that same afternoon. While you were still scrolling through docs and starter kits, what's going on there? I mean, it doesn't seem fair, does it? But the material we're diving into today suggests this isn't just luck or, one developer being some kind of superhero. This whole scenario, it actually illustrates something really deep and kind of counterintuitive that's happening in tech right now. It's called the complexity paradox.
That's exactly it. That's the core idea we're looking at. At a high level, the complexity paradox is this counterintuitive notion that choosing simpler tools, often the more established, maybe even boring technologies, can actually lead to more powerful results and critically, much faster progress than always reaching for the newest, most complex, theoretically complete solution out there. It feels a bit wrong, doesn't it? You'd think more power comes from more features, more complexity, but the results, well, they often tell a very different story. So our mission for this deep dive is to really unpack this paradox. We're going to use the insights from that blog post you mentioned. We'll look at some real-world examples where this plays out, dig into the psychology and the practical reasons why simplicity often wins, and examine a specific tech stack the article really highlights as a perfect example of this idea, delivering massive capabilities through what looks like, on the surface, simplicity.
And why should you care about this? Well, whether you're a developer stuck in that framework choice paralysis we talked about, or maybe you're a manager trying to figure out how to get your team shipping faster, building more. Or honestly, even if you're just curious about how truly impactful tech actually gets built these days, understand this paradox. It could fundamentally change how you think about choosing tools, designing systems, and ultimately how you deliver value. Okay, so let's dig in. The article suggests we can actually see hints of this paradox playing out way before today's fancy stacks. Remember WordPress?
Ah, yes. WordPress. The article brings it up as a really classic early example. For years, a lot of quote unquote serious developers really looked down on it. The criticisms were everywhere. Oh, it's not flexible enough for complex stuff. It can't scale. It's definitely not enterprise ready, that kind of thing. And yet, that key statistic the article presents is just undeniable. WordPress now powers something like 43.3% of all websites. I mean, just think about that scale for a second. 43%. So the insight the author draws, and it's crucial, is this. WordPress didn't succeed because of some cutting-edge technical complexity or a theoretically perfect design. No, it succeeded because it was accessible. It was approachable. It let people who weren't expert developers build and manage their own websites. That was an early, really powerful sign that simplicity and ease of use could actually beat perceived technical sophistication when it came to real-world impact and just massive adoption.
Exactly. And the argument is, this isn't just ancient history. That same pattern, it's playing out right now with modern frameworks, modern platforms. The winners aren't always the ones with the longest feature list. They're often the ones that are just easier to get started with, the ones that reduce friction for the developer. And it's not just limited to, website builders or frameworks either. The article makes the point that this paradox pops up again and again in really successful tech companies. Let's look at a few of the specific examples it mentions.
Yeah, this is where it gets fascinating. Seeing how companies hit massive scale and valuation, not by building the absolute most feature-packed thing, but the simplest thing for their users to actually use. And often, the user is another developer. So take Stripe. They didn't start by building the payment processor with every single bell and whistle imaginable. Their initial obsession was making integration dead simple, just what, 7 lines of code to get started? Compare that to competitors who often needed dozens, maybe more. And the result, a $95 billion valuation. Simplicity paid off big time.
Or look at Vercel. Again, they didn't necessarily aim to build the most powerful, most configurable deployment platform on Earth. They built the one where deploying your app was as simple as typing git push. That's it. And that relentless focus on ease of use, it was a huge driver for Next.js adoption. It just made deployment trivial for countless React developers.
And then there's Supabase, which is interesting because they didn't you know, reinvent the database from scratch. They built a backend as a service that feels incredibly familiar. Why? Because it's built on PostgreSQL. It lets developers use standard SQL queries. You don't have to learn some complex proprietary API just to talk to your backend. And the result there, explosive growth, something like 1,000% developer adoption increase in just 2 years. Again, fueled by that familiar, simple feel.
So when you look at these examples, the article pulls out Stripe for Sales, Supabase was the common thread. The argument is their focus wasn't maximizing the raw number of features. It was maximizing the developer experience, making things easy to use. And that seems to be the real engine behind their power and their widespread adoption.
Which naturally leads to the big question, the one the article really dives into. Why? Why does simplicity win out so often in these situations? The author breaks down both the psychological reasons and the really practical ones behind this paradox. Okay, reason number one they highlight. Cognitive load reduction. Let's go back to that developer we pictured, the one drowning in choices. When developers have to spend huge amounts of mental energy just evaluating, choosing, learning, integrating all these different complex tools for every little piece, well, that's energy they don't have left for solving the actual business problems, or for being creative, or for just getting stuff done. Simple, often more opinionated stacks. They eliminate a ton of that decision fatigue. They free up your brain power for what actually matters.
Right. And reason number two ties into that, team velocity. Think about it. Really complex architectures, super specialized tools, they often demand specialists. You need the microservices expert, the database tuning guru, the cloud configuration wizard. Simple stacks, though, they often let more generalist developers be highly productive across the whole application. The article makes a great point contrasting this. A well-structured Next.js plus Supabase app. Often, any competent JavaScript developer can jump in and maintain it, maybe even enhance it. You don't necessarily need a whole team of specialized senior full-stack architects, each guarding their little silo of deep, narrow expertise. It broadens who can contribute effectively.
And the third big practical reason, debugging simplicity. This one's huge. Trying to trace a bug through an application made of, say, 47 interdependent microservices, where a request might hop between 5 different services asynchronously, good luck. That can be incredibly difficult, incredibly time-consuming, days sometimes. But in a simpler stack, like the Next.js plus Supabase example the article keeps coming back to when something breaks, there are just fundamentally fewer places you need to look. That drastically speeds up debugging, finding the root cause, fixing it, moving on.
Okay, this is where the idea gets really concrete. And honestly, pretty exciting for anyone building stuff today. The article points to a specific combination of technologies, a stack that it argues perfectly embodies this complexity paradox, delivering huge power, but through tools that feel simple. The author calls it the power stack.
Yes, exactly. They specifically highlight the combination of, let's see, Next.js 15, React 19, TypeScript, Supabase, Tailwind CSS, and even includes Mapbox in the mix. As a prime example of this principle, in action right now. And what makes the stack so powerful, according to the argument, is how it delivers capabilities you'd normally associate with complex enterprise setups, but using tools that feel much simpler, much more integrated. So for instance, instead of needing a whole complicated microservices architecture for your backend logic, you can often handle a huge amount of it just using Next.js API routes. And for more specialized backend tasks, you can leverage things like Supabase Edge functions, much simpler orchestration. Or think about infrastructure. Instead of needing a dedicated DevOps team, spending weeks setting up servers, databases, off systems, storage buckets, CDNs, platforms like Vercel and Supabase handle most of that heavy lifting right out of the box. Vercel takes care of your deployment, your scaling, your global CDN. Supabase gives you your managed database, your authentication, file storage, even real-time features all bundled together. And on the front-end side, instead of needing, say, a dedicated CSS architect to define and enforce complex styling methodologies just to keep things consistent, Tailwind provides this utility-first approach. It lets teams build consistent, complex UIs rapidly without getting bogged down in writing tons of custom CSS or debating naming conventions.
And the advantage this gives, especially if you're a startup or maybe a smaller team within a larger company, is pretty staggering when you think about it. You get complex enterprise-grade capabilities with surprisingly little setup effort. We're talking things like authentication Supabase handles OAuth, MFA, even compliance aspects, a robust PostgreSQL database that scales and has backups managed for you, built-in WebSocket support for real-time features right out of the gate, file storage that includes things like image optimization and CDN delivery automatically, and crucially, global performance. Because platforms like Vercel and Supabase deploy your code and data to edge locations all around the world, often over 100 plus locations.
Right. And the comparison the author makes is really the kicker. eye-opening. To get that same set of features off scalable DB, real-time storage, global performance using a traditional enterprise approach, you could easily be looking at 6 to 12 months of work and needing a specialized team just to build and integrate it all, this simpler stack. Theoretically, it puts the power to build something with those same core capabilities into the hands of a single developer, potentially achievable in just one weekend. That's the paradox made real. Huge power derived from perceived simplicity and integration. And importantly, this isn't just a theoretical thing for startups anymore. The article gives examples of large, established companies that are quietly, strategically adopting these simpler, more accessible approaches. It's a real trend. Take Netflix. Huge company, massive scale. They migrated critical user interfaces over to Next.js, and this wasn't just some small experiment, it was a major move. The result, a reported 50% reduction in their JavaScript bundle size, and significantly improved Core Web Vitals, those key performance metrics, across all their global markets. That's huge for user experience at their scale.
Wow, okay. And Hulu is another big name mentioned. They apparently replaced some of their custom-built authentication microservices, which anyone who's dealt with Auth knows can be incredibly complex and a real pain to manage securely. They replaced them with Supabase, and the reported result was a 75% reduction in code complexity for that part of their system, while actually improving their security compliance. Less code, better security.
Exactly. And one more example, GitHub, a platform built by developers for developers operating at massive scale. They adopted Tailwind CSS for building new user interface designs, and the reported impact, a 40% acceleration in their feature development speed compared to how they used to build UIs with more traditional CSS approaches. So these aren't trivial changes. These are big companies making significant strategic bets on simplicity and developer velocity and seeing real results.
Okay, let me just quickly drill down a bit more. Why each specific part of this power stack the article highlights? What makes each piece contribute to this blend of simplicity and power?
Sure, let's break it down based on the article's points. First, the foundation, Next.js 15 and React 19. The latest versions are leaning heavily into server components. What that means, practically, is much less JavaScript needs to be shipped down to the user's browser for the initial page load, so apps just load faster, feel snappier. The article cites stats suggesting Next.js sites can hit 65% better Core Web Vitals scores compared to older, client-side-only React SPAs. Faster loading equals better user experience and often better SEO.
Okay, then TypeScript. It's positioned as the crucial safety net, right? The article mentions data suggesting TypeScript catches something like 83% of common JavaScript errors before your code even gets deployed. That's huge. And it also cites Microsoft's internal findings that using TypeScript can cut debugging time by around 42% compared to plain JavaScript. That's a massive boost to productivity, just less time chasing silly bugs.
Absolutely. Then there's Supabase, which the article really positions as a revolution for the backend. The idea is it replaces the need for maybe 15 or more separate backend services you might otherwise have to stitch together yourself. Think about it. Your database, your auth server, your file storage system, your real-time WebSocket server, maybe some serverless functions. Supabase aims to bundle all that into one platform with a consistent API. And the developer report cited suggests this unification leads to much faster feature delivery, up to 70% faster compared to building out a custom backend piece by piece.
Then Tailwind CSS tackles the front-end styling complexity. Instead of managing these potentially huge, complex, often inconsistent custom CSS files, Tailwind gives you this library of predefined utility classes, Flex, PT4, TextCenter, that kind of thing. The article suggests teams using Tailwind ship UI significantly faster, maybe up to 60% faster, than using traditional CSS approaches. Why? Because developers spend less time writing bespoke CSS and more time composing interfaces with existing consistent building blocks.
Right. And finally, Mapbox is included as an example of integrating a powerful but potentially complex capability mapping relatively easily within this stack. Trying to implement sophisticated mapping features using, say, the raw Google Maps APIs can involve a lot of complex integration work, tons of custom code, potentially months of effort for advanced features. Mapbox within this kind of ecosystem often provides a much more streamlined, faster path to getting common mapping use cases built and integrated into your app.
Okay, this all sounds great in theory, but if you're actually building something now or you're managing a team that is, how does the article suggest you apply this understanding? How do you actively leverage this paradox?
Yeah, the article offers some pretty practical implementation strategies. It boils down to a few key ideas. First, start simple. When you're choosing your tools, default towards the proven, stable technologies. Resist the urge to always jump on the bleeding edge. That boring tech is often faster and more robust in the long run. Second, optimize relentlessly for developer experience. pick tools that actively reduce friction. Things that cut down on boilerplate, eliminate unnecessary decisions, just make the developer's life easier. Happy, less frustrated developers, they ship faster and build better stuff. Third, embrace constraints. Don't automatically see limitations and simpler tools as a negative. Sometimes those constraints can actually force you into more focused, more creative, and ultimately more maintainable solutions compared to having infinite flexibility, which often just leads to accidental complexity. And fourth, measure what actually matters. Focus your metrics on real impact. How quickly can you ship working features? Are users adopting them? What are the business outcomes? Don't get seduced by just the technical elegance or theoretical sophistication of your stack. Track velocity and value.
Makes sense. And just as importantly, what are the traps? What are the anti-patterns the article warns us about? The things that pull you back towards that unnecessary paralyzing complexity?
Right. The warning list is crucial too. Here are the big ones to avoid. First, premature optimization. Don't build super complex solutions for theoretical future scale or problems you don't actually have today. Solve today's problem simply. You can almost always add complexity later if you genuinely need it. Removing complexity, much, much harder. Second, technology FOMO, fear of missing out. Resist constantly chasing the newest, shiniest framework or tool just because it's hyped on Twitter or Hacker News. Mastering the stack you have and actually shipping value with it is nearly always better than constantly restarting with the flavor of the month. Third, over-engineering. Don't build a massive, globally distributed, infinitely scalable system for a simple web app that's only going to serve a few hundred users initially. Build for your actual needs now and evolve as those needs grow. Don't architect for purely theoretical future states that might never happen. And finally, analysis paralysis. This is a big one. Don't spend weeks or even months just evaluating and debating technology choices. The time spent actually building something, getting it in front of users, and getting real feedback is infinitely more valuable than agonizing endlessly over the perfect tool choice. Pick something reasonable and go. And the article wraps up by connecting this whole paradox to the future of development, especially thinking about the rapid rise of AI coding assistants.
Yeah, the point it makes is really compelling, I think. As AI gets better and better at generating simple, standard, effective code very quickly, well, those super complex, highly custom, entirely hand-rolled architectures, they start to look less like an advantage and potentially more like a liability. They're harder to maintain, harder for AI tools to understand and work with effectively. The competitive edge, the argument goes, shifts back towards the developers and teams who can skillfully leverage these accessible tools, leverage AI-generated code where appropriate, and just ship working valuable software faster than anyone else.
So the conclusion the article draws is that the companies and developers who are really going to thrive in this next phase, they'll be the ones who truly master this complexity paradox. It's about learning how to build incredibly powerful applications using tools that feel simple. It's about getting those enterprise-grade capabilities, not by building everything yourself, but by leveraging accessible, well-integrated platforms. And it's about creating robust, maintainable systems, perhaps counterintuitively, by strategically embracing constraints rather than constantly fighting for infinite flexibility that just breeds complexity. So yeah, to bring it all back home, the core idea we've explored in this deep dive is pretty clear. Real technological power, real leverage. It isn't necessarily about mastering the most complex set of tools imaginable. It's increasingly about figuring out how to deliver the maximum possible value with the minimum necessary complexity.
Exactly. And that leaves us with the key takeaway question the author poses, the one to really mull over. The next time you're facing a technology decision, instead of instinctively asking, what's the most feature-rich, most powerful, most theoretically scalable framework or platform I could possibly use? Maybe. Just maybe, the more powerful question to ask yourself is simply, what's the simplest tech stack that can reliably and quickly deliver the outcome I actually need right now? Because that, according to this perspective, is where the real competitive advantage increasingly lies.
Definitely something to chew on there. And it makes you wonder, doesn't it? Have you, listening right now, have you experienced this complexity paradox in your own work? Or maybe even in projects outside of tech altogether? Where else in life have you found that maybe, just maybe, prioritizing simplicity actually led to more powerful, more effective, or more impactful results in the end?